You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast. Your show for everything Butler basketball. All right, the Front Row Hoopcast. We are back. I am your host, Ari Castle. I am joined today, very special guest, of ButlerHoops.com, Mr. Jared Grubbs. Jared, you've been doing Butler Hoops now for a while. This is probably going to be the first time a lot of people have heard your voice and heard your thoughts. Are you prepared for that?
I'm not sure. I did one other podcast for an IU site last year. I think that's the only time a lot of people would have heard me.
So are you prepared for the Butler universe to finally meet you?
I'm prepared.
Okay, let's do it. Last night, I'm trying to figure out, were we at Butler together? Because I graduated in 2014 and I was there in 20. Were we ever at school together?
Yes, so what? I graduated in 2013.
Oh, so we were there together for a few years.
I was there for 6 years for pharmacy.
I don't think we ever met.
I can't remember, to be honest.
Neither do I. Okay, anyway, off topic. But anyway, so the Butler Bulldogs lost two straight. Heartbreaker against Xavier and then at Villanova. I didn't. It's two losses that weren't that bad. I mean, Xavier, maybe we should have won. I definitely should have won that game. But Nova, I was not expecting to go into Nova and win. But the story with the Nova game, I think it's been the story all season, is that start off hot, you know, and then such inconsistencies in the second half. I don't understand it.
And it's been runs in the first half where they've got these long droughts. What was it, 16-2 between the first half and the second half, 16-2 run?
And there's some stat saying, I saw you tweeted out this morning about Butler's inconsistency. They're like the most inconsistent team in the country or something.
Right. So on that Haslametrics site,
yeah,
they have a consistency rating, which basically just looks at what the expected performance is versus what actually happens in the game and how much that varies from game to game. And they pretty much never meet expectations. They are either under it or over it almost every single game.
That being said, it really wasn't too... Well, the losses weren't bad. Like, Butler's still a tournament team, I think, right now. It's just, I think in the heat of back-to-back losses, Butler fans are a little upset. And one thing I want to start on, the bright spots, obviously, Keelan Martin and Kamar Baldwin have just been outstanding. I know that Keelan's been a leading scorer thus far for Butler, but I honestly think Kamar is our best overall player.
I completely agree. Yeah, he does so much more other than scoring. Obviously, Martin's the better scorer. But
you had brought it up to me. You were talking about if Kamar had a chance to be Butler's all-time scoring leader. I mean, what's the record now, like 2,000-something?
Oh, it's, what, 2,300-something?
That is a ton of points.
So Keelan has a great chance to pass 2,000 and get to number 2 on that list.
A great chance? Doesn't he need to average, like, 25 a game?
It's going to depend on how many tournament games they get.
So
I haven't run the numbers recently. He's been scoring 30 a game now, so they've gone down. At one point, if they got two tournament wins between the Big East and hopefully the NCAA tournament. Well,
let's hope they get a Big East tournament win finally.
He would only need to average about 20 points a game if they had two tournament
wins. To break 2,000. Wow.
And he's had a couple of 30 games since then. So
it's possible. I can see that. Kamar, though, I'm looking at his stats right now. So his freshman year, he scored 345 points. Right now, he has 415 points for a total of 760. You think by the end of the year, he's at 415 right now. So how many games do we have left? We have like five regular season games left. And then, so we have like 7 games left. If he can get another, you know, a couple hundred, he'll get up to like 600 points. That'll bring him to close to 900 in 2 years. Shit, Jared, you're right. He might actually break it. Yeah.
Pull up Keelan Martin's stats to see where he was at after 2 years.
All right, let me grab that.
I think right now he's at about where Keelan finished.
His first 2 years, Keelan had 760 points total. So Kamar,
Baldwin's going to have an edge on him.
And plus, yeah, Kamar will be the man for 2 years, hypothetically, if he stays.
We're going to have to see. There's obviously going to be some roster additions, so we're going to have to see who all he plays with.
All right. Now we need to get into the weeds here, Jared. I can't believe I'm starting on this topic again, but for the love of God, Butler fans are freaking killing me. And I want to start with one. Stop blaming the refs for every loss. There's this one dude on Twitter. I'm not even going to name his name. I literally went back and looked, and every single time Butler's lost a game, he's blamed the refs. And his fucking chucklehead followers just see it. They're like, oh, it must be the refs' fault. That makes our fan base look so stupid. Like, if a Xavier fan was tweeting about, oh, well, blame the refs every single game, we'd be looking at him saying, oh, my God, what a pathetic fan base. It makes us look so dumb. Jared, you're on the Butler Hoops boards more than I am. Is this the consensus that the refs are jobbing us every game, or is it just one fool on Twitter?
Oh, I bet if Xavier fans did it, I guarantee if you looked, you'd find some Xavier fans on Twitter
doing the
same thing.
And they look stupid.
Every fan base has people that do that.
Yes, but then I'm accused of being a troll for saying, stop tweeting, blaming the refs. And they say, how dare you, Ari? How dare I? Stop tweeting at the refs. That's more trolling than I am.
I always send out a few tweets each game about the refs, but there's a difference between complaining about certain calls and actually blaming every single loss on the refs.
Oh, you talk about that specifically. Yesterday, there was a lot of talk. Dante DiVincenzo is pushing off every time or whatever. And you know what? He was. But let's not get so high and mighty to forget that Butler went to two national championship games by being the dirtiest freaking team in basketball. They were grabbing jerseys. They were pulling people. They were elbowing people. But back then it was, that's the Bulldog toughness. That's gritty. But when it's done to us, oh my goodness, it's so dirty. Butler's getting jobbed. Come on, guys. You can't complain about that.
It's one of those things that when teams do things so much, officials feel like they can't call it.
Exactly.
I've complained about how Xavier gets away with the same things on offense that you talked about Butler doing on defense.
Yeah, I like it. I'm such a fan of no calls. Like, if it was up to me, there'd be no foul calls in the game whatsoever. So maybe that's just how I think, but I just think it's ridiculous how I'm like vilified for trying to be the voice of reason, saying like, stop blaming the refs. And everyone's like, and people keep calling me like little title. Like, that offends me. Like, it doesn't. And I can take a joke too. Like, I'm a good sport about it. I'm not like being rude to people, I don't think, most of the time. I troll, but like, I'm a good sport, I think.
But when you troll occasionally, then you're just going to get accused of trolling all the time.
I know, so that's fair enough. Hey, let's talk about Nate Fowler, or as I'm starting to call it now on Twitter, the hate for Nate, which I don't get. It's one of those things where I'm struggling to see the connection between why Butler fans hate him so much and why I like him so much.
So I think every person kind of has a player that
they
like more than they should, and probably that they dislike
more than they should. We'll get to him later, but
for me, Fowler's the player I probably like more than I should. Some of the advanced numbers absolutely love him. They loved him last year too. If you look at points per possession on offense and defense, both for the entire season and for conference play, Fowler has the second best points per possession differential on the team.
I mean, I'm with you. I'm looking at his advanced numbers. Like, in his advanced stats, he's a better offensive player than Paul Jorgensen, who Butler fans love. He's a better defensive player than most anyone on our team. Honestly, defending the basket, he's the best player on our team at defending the basket. He had a bad game against Xavier. He missed a few shots, but it just kind of baffles me where the hate for him is. I don't get it.
I think it's because you talked about when Butler went to the Final Four, how it was Butler toughness and that tough defense.
Uh-huh.
Fowler can be kind of soft. That is definitely his
but
weak point.
That he isn't him being leading the team and defending the rim an indication that he's not soft?
I mean, you can still be softer and be a good defender,
listen,
be a bad defender.
Andrew Smith was accused of being soft too.
Absolutely.
Okay, and he was a great player. Because listen, Nate is not a shower. He doesn't bang on people in the post, and he doesn't dunk on them, which neither did Andrew Smith. But I think the similarities are there between Smith and Nate Fowler, I think. I think the hate for him is just bizarre to me. It's such a disconnect.
And he is having a down offensive year compared to last year.
Well, he's not shooting threes at the rate he was last year.
And I really think he's not being utilized in this offense.
Well, what would you
that well?
Shoot me what you would do.
So I feel like this offense is more designed for Weidman, where you get the ball screens and you get a post guy running to the rim, which fits more of Weidman's game than it does Fowler. How many threes has Fowler even attempted this year?
I looked this up the other day. Let me check.
Last year, the pick and pop was a huge weapon for him. And
he's attempted, oh my God, he's only attempted 17 threes this entire season.
How many he hit last year?
He hit he went 10 of 21 last year.
Oh, he only,
yeah,
he
I know.
Only took 21
it felt
threes?
Like a lot. It felt like a lot more. Yeah, but he only shot 21 threes. But he's only shot. He's on the same pace pretty much now. But he's shooting 20 percentage points lower than like he was at 47% last year. He's at 23% this year.
It's still such a small sample size that I think they should be looking to get him more shots.
I've said that as well. I think he's insanely efficient down low. Like when he's back to the basket, that little hook shot is money. Weidman isn't. He's going to get you putbacks, really, but he doesn't really have the finesse for post moves.
When Weidman terrifies me when he starts his post moves. He's actually been much better at them this year than he has in the past. But when he starts backing guys down and you know he's going to throw up a shot no matter what's there, luckily he's gotten some people to bite on some pump fakes and gotten some good up and under moves at the basket.
We have another big man on this team, but you wouldn't know it if you watch Butler basketball. Joey Brunk on the squad. So, Jared, he has not played at all. In conference play pretty much, and Butler fans are like tweeting, we need more Brunk, like get Fowler out of here. And I'm sitting there thinking, don't you think there's a reason he's not playing? Don't you think the coaches might know something we don't? Don't you think the coaches, there must be an issue with Brunk if he's not playing?
And I'm not sure if it's necessarily an issue with Brunk other than Weidman and Fowler are really a pretty good big man combo. It's not like Butler's just desperately searching for a big man down low that they're going to throw in somebody who's not ready.
At the same time, though, if like Christian David gets sporadic minutes every now and then despite not really needing him, I think either Brunk, A, has lost, the coaches absolutely do not trust him to run our stuff, or B, he's just not very good. There's just no other explanation for me of why he would see 0 minutes. I mean, Campbell Donovan is averaging more points per game in conference play than Brunk isn't. It's sad because I know Butler fans love Joey Brunk, but realistically, I don't see a way that he's even on the team next year.
Well, the difference between David and Brunk is that they're a lot more interchangeable pieces with David. I mean, you can move guys around on the wing. He can play more than one position.
Yeah, but you would throw Brunk a bone if he was good enough to play. I mean, he's been in here for 2 years now, like. Do you not think the calls for him to play as frequently as he gets called for on Twitter are a little silly?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I do think he should be getting in the game more in these blowout situations.
Yeah, it is weird. That does scratch my head a little.
I mean, when you're up 25 points, you can run Fowler and Brunk together just to get him some minutes if you want.
Yeah, clearly the coach is like, do not trust him. He came in for one possession against Xavier and just got...
missed
a rebound. Like,
out.
That was really bad.
Yeah, that was. I mean, we're criticizing one possession.
It was a really. Like, you come in for one possession and you blow it, you're going to get criticized.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And he's obviously not up to the same level as Fowler and Weidman in practice, or you're right, he'd be getting some minutes. But I also don't think we should write him off moving forward. I mean, most freshman big men aren't very good.
No, but if you've been here for 2 years, maybe you'd think you'd be a little better. Speaking of upcoming big men, you checked out John Michael Malloy last night?
I did.
I've seen him play, too. I wanted to hear what your thoughts were.
I went and watched Carmel play. This is the first time I've seen him at the high school level this season. I haven't seen him since AAU. He looked about the same. He's still pretty soft, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was about to say.
He's got a long way to go, which... It's okay. I mean, it's going to be a while before he's at Butler. He's only a junior right now. He's got good size and mobility. He looked like a very good leader out there. He talks more than any player.
I like that.
Opening tip off, he's talking from the start, directing. He's almost like a linebacker there in the paint, directing the defense, calling out screens. Has very good awareness of what's going on. So there's a lot to work with there. Butler's gonna have something. They're gonna have a chance to develop.
I've always thought it's so tough to evaluate big guys at the high school level because when you're 6'10", 6'11", like he is going up against a 6'4 guy, it's tough backing down a 6'4 guy. The center of gravity is off. Like it's tough to really evaluate. So I've watched him play and I wasn't that impressed. But it's again one of those things where I'm not good at evaluating big men. So I have to assume the coaching staff sees something they like there.
Right, and it's kind of a high risk player in a way because there's definitely going to be a lot to to work on.
And definitely going to be a lot of minutes for big guys by the time he comes in. So.
Oh, yeah. And that's, have to remember that we're not recruiting at the high school level, or we're not recruiting for the NBA level. We're recruiting for good college players. Like McDermott's an example. He had a very disappointing senior year.
He also almost died.
Well,
I mean, he lost like 100 pounds with a staph infection. And God forbid he only averaged 14 points when on his deathbed. So whatever. My favorite player, by the way. You know who also, Jared, is my least favorite player? I don't know if you knew this or not, but Paul Jorgensen sucks.
I've heard some rumors you don't
like
him. Yeah,
okay. Well, I remember months ago was saying he is not that good, and Butler fans were like, get a life, Ari. You're an idiot. And I think now maybe some Butler fans are starting to come over to the to my side after seeing two-thirds of conference play. Paul Jorgensen has been pretty terrible, shooting 36% from the field, 30% from three. He's shown me what I expected to see out of him. Please, Jared, you're going to defend him right now.
You have not won me over.
Please attempt to defend him right now.
Well, I actually... As for how he played, I thought he actually played very well against Villanova. He obviously missed his shots, which...
Oh, he did!
But he had six assists.
Seven assists, actually.
Or seven assists, yeah. Okay. Was it six rebounds?
Five, I think six rebounds, seven assists.
Okay, I had it backwards. I think he was only credited with one turnover. Probably should have been two,
yeah.
But either way, those are... He distributed very well, especially in that zone. He got to the middle of the zone a few times, got Baldwin some shots, got Fowler some shots down though.
So you're saying his offense was okay?
If he plays like this every game,
I'll
be fine.
I was waiting for you to say this.
Just like you said earlier that he's not going to keep shooting 50% from three, he's not going to keep shooting, 1 for 7 from three?
I mean, he's shown that's pretty much his consistent number, is around 30% from three.
30% from three does not hurt the team though.
When you shoot 8 shots and make 2 of them, yes it does.
Well, that's not 30%.
Jared, I didn't go to school for math, okay? Anyway, I knew coming in you were going to say, well, he had 7 assists, he had 6 rebounds. Do you know what his offensive rating was for that game?
It was it 96?
Lower, 91. That's
91.
Terrible. That's not a good game.
No, because he didn't shoot well. But you have to look.
It takes in everything into account. It takes into account for possessions. It takes into account for assists and rebounds. A 91 is terrible. He's hurting the team out there. And his defense is so bad that it doesn't even warrant his mediocre offense.
Is it so bad?
Statistically speaking, it's very... Conference play, it's very bad. He's in the bottom four of guys on our team.
Remember I talked about that points per possession differential for Fowler?
Yeah.
You know who's third?
In conference play or overall?
In conference play. Jorgensen is third.
Well, I mean, he had one good game. He's had like one or two. Oh, points per differential is not a good indication of how they're doing.
So it's not necessarily a good ranking of players, but it shows that he is contributing fine in his role.
Fair enough. I mean, I look at that as like plus minus, where it's a good indication, but it doesn't really tell an individual player's stats.
Right. Certainly. No. And I'm not saying that Jorgensen is better than Martin, who, by the way, is second to last on that stat.
In what category?
Points per possession differential.
Is he really? Well, okay, fair enough.
Who do you think's last?
Of guys who play?
Yes, I'm not talking about... Like,
I don't know, Aaron Thompson?
Correct.
Lucky guess. Jared, you run the Butler Hoops. First of all, talk to me about Butler Hoops. How'd that get started?
So, the guy you mentioned earlier, Title, that you've been referred to, closed his recruiting board.
Do you know who that guy is? Like, do you know his real name?
I did at one point. I can't remember.
Jared, you had one job. Anyway, back to the...
I can't remember. There are some people out there that know it that have told me.
Anyway, so, yeah, he closed his recruiting board.
He closed his recruiting board, and people were wanting more recruiting info, so it's actually kind of funny. I actually opened it up on my honeymoon.
Ah.
I was in Hawaii. My wife got sick and was sick in bed and was asleep in the middle of the day.
How romantic.
I didn't have anything else to do. I was on my computer out staring at the ocean.
Yeah.
And just decided to open it up. And that was when I created it.
And it's, I mean, how many, you guys have like 1,200 members now? Like, it's pretty, it's the go-to place for Butler fans.
It's done pretty well.
Do you get paid for that? Like, you get...
I don't actually make any profit. Everything I get, I invest back into it. There's some advertising. It's not a ton. There's We're starting to get more VIP members, more donations. It's like $25 a year to be a VIP member.
Ah, nice. So yeah, there you go. Worth the investment. I used to be a frequent visitor of the boards just for recruiting information. I since discovered that Twitter's just fine enough for that. But it's one of those things where that's where I think is the best thing about your site is the recruiting stuff. So that's kind of where I wanted to go with this next.
And I unfortunately haven't been doing as much this year. I didn't get out to see that many games. Got a newborn at the house, plus a 2-year-old, so that kind of kept me from.
Where are your priorities, Jared? Bulldogs over everything.
From this summer, I'm gonna get back on top of that and do a much better job of getting in the gym.
You never scouted my AAU team.
I never did.
No, we had a bunch of, 6-foot-tall white guys. They all of them are going D3 though. They all got scholarships. Right. I credit my coaching for that. They were really good players. Anyway, to the recruiting stuff. Looking at 2018, 2019. Is Lamar Norman going to – I talked to his coach. I kind of got the sense that they're waiting on academics for him. I don't know if you know anything that I don't.
His dad actually got on the message board.
Really?
And posted and said that the academics were fine. That's not –
I'm sure his dad said that.
That's not – well, I mean
– then what are they waiting for?
That's not something that you would just lie about either. If they weren't okay, you would just not get on there and not say anything. You know,
maybe,
what,
fair.
What I mean?
But it's February now. We're getting into March. You got – at what point don't you think it's weird that this guy hasn't committed yet anywhere? Like, hasn't even got an offer from Butler?
At this point, I don't think an offer is going to come until
really?
I don't know if they're going to look at transfers and see.
They have to.
I mean, I don't know if Tucker changed that any. But yeah, if they're gonna see what comes up on the transfer market, then maybe if they don't get any transfers, then they'll go back and maybe offer him. I don't have any inside information.
I think they need a big man in the transfer market, too. You're losing Fowler and I mean, you're losing Weidman, and then it's just Fowler and Brunk if he stays. But, I mean, that's slim.
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine them not going after one.
Well, you mentioned if Brunk stays. Brunk's basically got guaranteed minutes next year.
I mean, yeah. If he'd have to be, yeah.
There's no other option.
Yeah, that'd be true.
Unless they get a transfer.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see Brunk leaving for minutes because the minutes are going to be there.
All right, what about 2019? That's the year where I think Lavelle's really going to have to make his bread and butter because tough coming in the summer and really getting a good class for the first year. But what are we looking at in 2019?
It's kind of hard to know because
we don't have a top target?
I'm honestly not sure. A lot of the kids are. There's nobody that I think is close to committing.
Yeah.
And obviously Jordan wasn't there to really evaluate them much during the summer. So he's gonna have it's gonna be a huge spring evaluation period for him to really see where this class is going to shape up, what's going to happen there.
I've been talking to Zach Hahn, the head coach at Center Grove. With Trace Stack, Jackson Davis. I'm trying to get him on the podcast to talk about that. I don't know if, I mean, I can't, he's a really good player. I don't know if Butler's going to be able to pull a steal and get him there, but
that would
trying
be pretty amazing if they could. He can go almost anywhere he wants.
Yeah, he's really good.
He said the Butler's been in contact with him almost as much as anybody. Every time I haven't actually talked to him lately. I did an article on him about a year ago, probably. That was when Holtman was recruiting him. But it's just hard to see Butler getting somebody like that until they actually do it.
I can see where you're going. Yeah, but I also didn't think they'd be able to get Jordan Tucker. So I mean, Lavelle surprised me before.
There really wasn't a ton of competition for Tucker.
Yeah,
though.
Pretty weird, huh?
There are certainly some yellow flags that make me question what exactly
I tweeted
is going
that
on
and I was called a troll. So,
but we also said the same thing about Clark when he came over.
I never said such things.
There were the same rumors about how he was a me first player, about how his dad would try to.
It was his uncle, but yeah.
Oh, was it his uncle? Okay.
Yeah. I've met his uncle before. His uncle is crazy as hell.
So I mean. And of course, fans of teams that didn't get him or of where he's leaving are going to have a very different viewpoint on him. So we can't judge him until we until we actually see him over here. But they're, if you want to be concerned about it, that's not unfounded either.
Jared, we got a couple minutes here left. We're going to close it out talking about the rest of this season. My goal for this season, it sounds going to sound silly, I just want to win a Big East Conference game. Like, because I feel like if we win the games we should the rest of the year, which I'm expecting we would, we're going to be in the tournament. But I just want to win a conference game. First of all, Laval has already exceeded expectations. I didn't think we'd have even sniffed the tournament, and I think we're going to make it. So credit to Laval. He did a really good job. But what are your goals for the season?
It's so hard to establish goals for the season because the ceiling for this team is so high. I mean, it's not unfathomable that Martin could go on a Shelvin Mack type run and carry this team deep in the tournament.
I think that's pretty unfathomable. I don't think that's going to happen. They're too inconsistent.
Well, right. They're absolutely inconsistent, but inconsistent means they can also string together some, I mean, a
few
good games.
So, I mean, is losing in the first round of the tournament, like, are we fine with that?
I don't know if I'd say we're fine with that.
I mean, I'd be fine. Like, again, I didn't think we'd sniff the tournament just to make it, even if we lose in the first round with this roster. I'd be like, you know what? I mean, it was a better season than I expected.
I had higher expectations than you starting
really?
The season. I had predicted,
with a new coach and losing a six seniors?
I predicted this team would be just as good as last year.
Dad, you are a bold man. What about, okay, let's continue.
Especially now at this point where they're almost a lock for the tournament.
Yeah.
So losing one game, I mean, that's kind of the ceiling, right? Or the floor right now.
I guess. Fair. Okay, that's fair enough.
I think you've got to at least...
Win a game.
I shouldn't say you have to. I mean, it's not the end of the world if they lose. I mean, there's a good chance they're going to be in a toss-up game kind of in that first round. Maybe in that...
Yeah, the 11 seed.
Being like
playing
probably
game.
In a 7-11. I think they'll be better than playing game.
What about next year? Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, Kamar's going to have to average like 20. And then, I mean, I don't... McDermott is going to have to average double digits. Thompson's going to have to start making threes at least one out of every four.
It's going to be hard to know until we see if they get any transfers.
That's true.
If Tucker's legit, then this team's going to be pretty good again.
What's legit? Because I think he'll average, I don't know, 10 points a game.
If they get 10 points a game from him, I feel like it's going to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
I really like Thompson. I think he's going to start shooting the ball better and be a...
Like Ron Norwood.
More of,
yeah,
that's shooting-wise, that's probably a pretty good comparison.
Oh, it's funny because when I first, months ago, I was like, he could be the next Ron Norwood. People were like, his offensive game is already better than Ron Norwood. Which it's not.
He can do a lot more attacking the rim.
Ron Norwood attacked the rim so well his senior year.
Well, his senior year.
Yeah. I mean, I was just saying, it's already better than Ron Norwood at his prime is ridiculous. Could he get better than him? Yes, and he probably will. But to say he was already there, I thought was stupid.
He's just going to have to learn to... He's being guarded differently than he's probably ever been in his life.
Well, yeah, left wide open. That's how they guard me.
And it's... I almost think he needs to watch like Roosevelt Jones film. Jones, for the whole time Jones was here, I always thought teams made a mistake by backing off of him because it allowed him
to
get downhill.
Yeah.
It's hard to guard somebody when you back that far off of him. You don't have any cushion to give or anything like that. And he needs to learn to create with the ball because he's obviously a liability when he's off the ball and guys are sagging into the lane.
He's a liability on offense, period. Well,
He needs to be the playmaker on offense.
Yes, I agree. But I think that's tough for him right now as a freshman. But it's
right.
I think we're in agreement that the future for him is so bright. If he could get any semblance of like 30% from three, like he would be so, because you'd have to guard him then.
Right.
And then he'd be really, really dangerous.
And it's sagging in the lane. If he's the guy with the ball, then that gives him a ton of room to create. When guys are backing off that far, he can see the whole floor. There's nobody interfering with his passes or anything like that. He can go anywhere he wants. he needs to learn to play with or through that type of defense until he gets a shot.
Jared, we've gone for about 30 minutes here. Do you have any last thoughts before we wrap this puppy up? Anything you want to say?
I don't think I have too much. I think we've covered about everything.
We covered it all. We're going to have to get you back on a different time in a couple weeks after the Dogs hopefully make the tournament. But we have to end the show as always. IU sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.